Hello, everybody. This is Key TD from New Media Central. Today is March 3rd, and I welcome you to the show. Well, I did something completely different this time than I normally do on my podcasts. I read it. You'll probably be able to tell when you hear the main part of the podcast. What I normally do when I'm preparing for a podcast is during the week, I will use my iPhone. You know, I come up with ideas all during the week at odd hours and odd times. And what I try to do, because I have my cell phone with me most of the time, is I get it out and I make little snippets, you know, record little snippets of what I want to talk about. And then just prior to doing the podcast, I listen to those and I kind of formulate my ideas and then I start typing. And I get in this mode and I can actually type almost as fast as I think. And I just type, and I don't worry about whether it's punctuated properly or anything like that. I just go. And then what I do is I reread it and see if I need to make any improvements or anything like that. You know, check my quotes and check my figures and make sure everything's accurate as I can. And then I make an outline of that. And I use the outline to make sure I'm proceeding in the direction that I want to go and that I don't forget anything and that I, you know, try to come full circle by the end of the thing so that I've, you know, set everything out there and then kind of try to make it make sense towards the end. Now, the reason I do that, I don't want it to sound like I'm reading it, and I don't want it to be something that's read. I want it to be something that's from my soul and from my heart. I want it to be the real deal, you know, what I really feel. And just by sitting there reading some stuff that I typed out, it's never going to get it that way. So the reason I did it this time is because what I typed is really something that I wanted to say. And I want to make sure I didn't forget any little detail. A lot of times when I do the thing where I type it out and then I make outlines and cliff notes, I'll go along and I'll forget a couple of little details that I really want to get in there, but I don't worry about it too much because, you know, I can always hit it again later, or if I didn't think of it while I was doing it, maybe it's not that important anyway. The stuff that I read today, I didn't do it exactly the way it's written. I'm not that good of a oral reader, so it would have been really, really boring, and I really didn't want to bore y'all with the dry reading of some text, but anyway, the gist of it all is the government just recently passed net neutrality. They got it. Obama and the regime and the machine wanted net neutrality. They wanted to get their hands on something that they didn't have control over. And so it's done now. They did it. Hopefully there'll be some resistance to it and it doesn't just fly right through, but pretty much we're messed over. It's a bad thing. The internet was pretty much unregulated. You could pretty much do anything you wanted. The good news for people who look at it, you don't have, I mean, if there's something out there you don't like, you don't have to look at it. You know, that's a thing that I always have a problem with, is why are we making such a big deal out of something like it's on TV or on the radio or anything like that? If you don't want to hear it or listen to it or watch it, don't do it. Don't listen to it or watch it. And so that's kind of the Wild West of what the internet was, is, you know, anything goes out there. And, you know, if you see something you want to look at, look at it. If you see something you don't want to look at it, don't look at it. But the government couldn't handle that. They couldn't stand the fact that we had something that they didn't have their hands on and have complete control over. So it totally frustrates me completely, because I make my living partially on the internet. I'm a web designer. I think I mentioned a couple times in past podcasts. And I do this podcast. It's going to be hard to do this podcast, because one thing that the government's going to look at for sure is things like this, where people are talking about what a bad job they're doing. And they're going to look at that and they're going to go, hey, we don't want that out there. Chop that right off real quick. So it's frustrating for me. It's going to be hard. And the other thought, you know, the web design part of it, it's going to be hard for me to make a living because they're going to start putting taxes and fees and have all regulations, and you're going to have to be certified and all this kind of thing. And it's going to start costing tons of money to do what I already do for very little money. It takes a lot of time and energy and effort, but it doesn't take a lot of money. I got some money wrapped up in my computer that I use. It's a good one. And for the podcast, I got a little bit of money wrapped up in the preamp and the microphone. But pretty much just the weekly putting the stuff together doesn't cost anything. But they're going to change that, I'm sure. They're gonna want to get the money out of it. So it frustrates me completely that they did this, that they got this thing. And the thing that frustrates me the most is nobody wants it. Just like Obamacare, nobody wants it. The people who say they want it, they're either making them up or they're crazy or ill-informed or something. Nobody wants this thing. They want freedom. Everybody wants freedom. And people want the one last place you can go to where there is some freedom, which is the internet. And the government said, nope, we want that. We want control. So that's my deal on net neutrality. It really irritates the crap out of me. And I can't go with the flow here. I can't. And it smacks right in the middle of everything I'm trying to do with this podcast, which is to tell everybody and things that they probably already know, which is we're going the wrong direction here, folks, in a bad way. And we're doing it faster and faster every day. And we got to stop. We got to stop it. I mean, it's happened before in this country where things were going bad and we decided, hey, we're not going to do this anymore. The bad thing is that machine's powerful now. It's very powerful. And it's going to take a train to stop the damn thing. And so that's what we got to do. We got to get us a train and we got to stop this thing. And that's my whole deal. And one other thing I've been doing here recently is I've been trying to make them all somewhere around a half an hour. I think this one's going to fall short because I don't do a lot of wandering around. I get straight to the point in the main part of the program here. So anyway, this one's a little bit short. My previous ones before I restarted, there were several short ones. I heard some feedback from people that listened to it, said, we want to hear more. We want to hear more. And so I did a little research too along the lines when I was trying to figure out how to do these podcast things. And one of the things was try to make them consistent, you know, half an hour, 1 hour, 2 hours. There's a guy I listened to that he's got two different podcasts out there. And one of them, they're typically about an hour long. And the other one are 4, 5, 6 hours long. And they're generally continuations, which means the whole thing is somewhere around 12 to 15, 16 hours. And fortunately, it's good. You can listen to it that long and you can, that's the cool thing about podcasts is you can break them up however you want to. If you got 20 minutes to listen right now, listen to 20 minutes and later on come back and pick it up where you left off. Typically, I think that's a good amount of time. If they're too long, sometimes I fear that people will turn them off before it's completely done and then never find the time or never find the interest to go back to them. I think a half an hour is a good time. Typically, the drive time, which is where some people listen to this, is while they're driving, they can listen to it, you know, back and forth to work. A half-hour trip to work is not real uncommon. Congratulations to everybody out there that has a shorter ride than that. Sorry about you guys that have a longer ride than that. But anyway, that's the whole thing. Try to make it about a half an hour long. This one's going to be a little bit short. So, with no further ado, did want to mention one last time, like I do every time on this part of the podcast, is I really appreciate when you guys give me some feedback. Go to my website, www.newmediacentral.org. And there's a place in there where you can just, you know, put down a few words. Tell me what you think. Tell me what you like, what you don't like. It really helps me a lot. Helps me that I know that there's some people out there listening, and it also helps me make the thing better. So anyway, until we meet again, thanks for listening. Bye-bye. Enjoy the show. First, there was Obamacare. It's pure, total, and complete off-the-chart extortion by the machine. We're becoming aware of what that really entails now, but it's nowhere near what it actually entails and what's going to in the future. But we're pissed off at our government for shoving this down our throats, because we can't even see a doctor now, even after paying outrageous sums of money to insurance companies and health organizations. And, sadly, we lost way more than just medical advice, treatment, and pharmacopoeia with Obamacare. We lost our privacy. There's very little about us that's private anymore, because we got to give every detail of ourselves to the doctors before they'll even think about treatment. And I tell you what, once you give that to them, it's out there for anybody who wants to pay for it or steal it. Then we get net neutrality. Well, we're effed. I mean, the little bit of hope that we had to remedy Obamacare was that the internet was still mostly uncensored and unregulated. Now that's gone. The problem with losing the internet and medicine back-to-back like that is they're both huge, much bigger than we know right now. And losing them both together, it makes it even harder to recover. We got the 1-2 punch. It was a brilliant plan on the part of the machine. You know, this little experiment we call America, where people can be free to pursue their dreams and work hard with the knowledge that their efforts won't be in vain, it's now on shaky ground. We used to be able to come up with an idea and work and toil and scratch and dig and do all the things necessary to get it off the ground, and then let the marketplace determine if our ideas are valid. Let the ratings and the critical assessments determine if our literature is good enough. We'd let sales figures show us if our art was valuable to others. And now it's gone. It's all but gone and fading. The greed of the machine has caused it to launch this plan, and it eliminates the middle class, and it moves all, or nearly all, the wealth in this country from us to the elites. We hear news items almost every day stating that the middle class is shrinking and how the richest 5% of Americans owns over 72% of the wealth. You know, I had great hope that we as a nation would be able to overcome this development by putting our greatest weapon, our numbers, to work for us. We're 95% of the country. That pits 95% of us against 5 of their piddly little 5. You know, what they got on their side, though, is the machine. And they've developed it. The past several decades, they've made it almost unbeatable. The only way we can beat it is to combine our resources and fight. And the way I envision that would be to use the internet and crowdsourcing, as I mentioned in my last podcast. The problem is, the machine already predicted that plan, and they've now made it much more difficult with net neutrality. They want to regulate the internet to the point that we won't be able to use it for that. That's the plan. I have to repeat this every time I start talking about wealth distribution and big business and wealthy people. You know, my whole life, I've been a proponent of profit. And I've gone into great detail in previous podcasts about this subject and how capitalism is the best of all possible scenarios for any nation to follow. I have to say this because it's hard for me to lash out against anyone who's figured out how to make a buck. But we got to understand that greed has created a monster. It's devouring the entire world. We have to understand that adding value and thereby earning a profit is among the highest honors we can bestow upon ourselves. Once we learn those two things, we'll figure out that from there springs charity, compassion, and caring. You know, when we work hard and amass wealth beyond our needs, most of us gladly help out anybody else that needs help. It's part of our very nature. And the opposite of that is, when we're barely scraping by, it's really hard to help. You know, when 95% of us are sharing 28% of the wealth, it puts us all in a bad place for philanthropy. You know, it's making this fight even more important than ever. Now, in addition to those two big things, I mean, these are giant things. Obamacare and net neutrality, they're life-changing. They're gonna change us a lot, especially if we let it continue. You know, in addition to that, I think we as a nation have begun to fall into a downward spiral because of all the bad news around the world and because the news delivered to us instantaneously now with a 24-hour news cycle. It's too much to handle for most of us. And as a result, many of us are becoming overwhelmed. As many health studies have shown, when we're scared out of our minds that any one of a thousand possible horrors could create a bad and worsening situation for us, we begin to get physically sick. And it's making it even harder for us to handle things and thereby falling further into this abyss. We got Muslims that want to kill us, and we got nukes that can kill every single one of us, and they're being built by these rogue nations now. You know, when the Russians were a threat, we were scared, sure, yeah. But less scared than now, because the Russians had as much to lose as we did in a nuclear exchange, and so it'd be fairly unlikely it would ever happen. You know, however, now, if one of those radical enemies gets their hand on one, look out, buddy. They got nothing to lose and everything to gain by dropping one right in the middle of one of our big cities. You know, add all that together with the fact that our own government, big business, and the mainstream media is trying to tear us apart, and we got a big problem. That's why we got to fight. We got to begin right now and use the advantage of numbers to beat back those bastards before it's too late. And time's coming soon. Sooner than any of us would like to admit. Let's get some people elected to the top spots in our government using crowdsourcing, regardless of that stupid net neutrality bullshit. Let's focus on 147 companies that own 40% of the wealth of the world. You know, those 147 companies, just a very few compared to the estimated 125 million companies worldwide, and they've got too much power. That 147's got way too much power. And we got to decide if we really want to buy stuff from them, if it means that we're pushing ourselves off a cliff by doing so. Let's get healthy by forcing ourselves to relax more and by eating food that's better for us and by exercising whether we want to or not. Let's make the new media stronger by listening and watching and reading anything and everything that we can that's produced by these courageous new media contributors and not that diatribe spewed out by the mainstream media. It's going to be a struggle, and in the end, it'll probably take a revolution to completely overhaul this country and the world and get them back to sanity, but it's completely necessary. Our nation and the world as we know it is at stake. You know, this sort of thing has happened throughout the history of the world. A good thing evolves and springs up, fueled by creativity of the human spirit. And people see this incredible thing happening, and they want to contribute. And they do so for the sake of the thing, and not for the money machine it may represent. Over time, it could have value associated with it, and the people who have dedicated their lives to it may begin to profit from it. And then it becomes a target for the vultures, who see it only for the monetary value of it, and they take it over by force and ruin it. My dream is that the American dream is worth fighting for. That American exceptionalism is a real thing, and it's not a bad thing, but a good thing that brings help and happiness and freedom to the residents of this great nation, and it inspires others around the world to hope and to dream and to get involved and get inspired to do whatever they think they could do to make this world a better place for everyone. My dream is that we buck the tradition of the history of the past millennia and save our country from what Ayn Rand called the moochers and the looters and make this nation great again.